We'll be taking your phone calls at the top of the hour, so stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Are we tuned?
I think there's...
Hello?
I think we have power at the transmitter tonight, right?
I can hear you. In the studio, we have Carrie.
Hello.
Who's a new person. And then we have Otis to talk here about...
Odie.
Alligator. Otis is going to talk to us about Alligator. And, of course, I'm Scooter, and Anna's on the board. And we have two people on the line. We have Tracy Harris, who has been a host of The Atheist Experience since I watched it. So that's a really informative piece of information. Years. And she's also has a podcast called Godless Bitches, which is with some other women, Jen Peoples and Beth Presswood. And
that sounds frightening.
Shows up. Right. And also Stacey Gonzalez is on the line. So I'm going to put those guys on the line as the phone thing turned up. Okay. And then we'll just take it from there and talk about what's going on with the isms in the different orgs. So you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Tracy.
Hello.
Tracy and Stacey. Stacy, Stacy, Carrie, Otis, and as promised, we are outnumbered 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 to 2, 2 to 1.
Which is good.
That's right.
Ladies night.
So I know. Then we have more women here, to, so we could tell them what they should be talking about. Right. So
bring some focus to this, Scooter, because I don't understand.
Shall we start with
lead me?
Shall we start with Stacy locally? And your reaction, because I spoke with you before the program today, and you weren't really on board. But after listening, what do you, how do you feel about it?
I think I was misinformed before 9 o'clock this evening. I think I kind of had heard the conversation 1,000 times and was over it, and thought, you know, Richard Dawkins might have been right, you know, like, just shut up about it. But after listening to that and hearing everything in detail and really understanding her side, I now love Rebecca Watson. She is now my new favorite atheist.
That's great. And, and skeptic, yeah.
Based on, for me, who I didn't really hear the interview. She's your new favorite atheist because, or, I mean, what was it that got you?
She's very articulate, and she, just how she presents herself and presents this idea. I've heard her say, kind of describe elevator gate and all of that crap that's been going on in other ways that I didn't quite get or understand her side of it, but for some reason it made sense to me tonight. She described it in much more detail. I kind of didn't know a few things that happened, so it makes everything more, I don't know. It makes it easier to understand her side now. So
does it resonate?
I just love her.
Does the issue resonate with you?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. I consider myself a feminist. And recently, this past year at the convention in Houston, I was on a woman's panel talking about how to get more women in the movement. So I totally understand where she's coming from. But, I mean, I've originally, before, I talked to Scooter about an hour ago and said, you know, like, I've been hit on, you know, get over it. You're like, no big deal. Yeah, thanks, it's flattering, but I'll just move on now. But it was actually no surprise, I should have known, blown out of proportion by everyone else, not really her.
Right, yeah, it's interesting. It's kind of the weird email stuff that people are subjected to. I mean, I will go to the rape argument, but only with men.
What is the rape argument?
It's awful both ways.
It's not an argument. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a one-way conversation. Yeah. So, Tracy, did you think that was a good interview, or how did I do?
Yeah. I thought it was interesting to listen to. I think I'm glad that I tuned in, you know, when it started, so that I could hear the whole conversation. None of it really surprised me. It was right in line with what I recall happening.
Right.
And what I recall being reported throughout the event, and what I remember seeing as the initial video that she posted and how she had reported it, completely accurate in what she just described here. And I do recall thinking, what is the firestorm over her just saying this guy's a dork elevator when, you know, he was. But she didn't, you know, I don't recall her saying he needed to be arrested or that, you know, it was just, hey, this is kind of dorky. Don't be a dork. And I didn't really see why that should be problematic because he was dorky. And from there, it just, you know, it went completely nuts.
Yeah, I've really
mean it. Just everybody started talking about it.
Well,
I'm acting as the
weirdly
guy doesn't know thing.
And crazy. Right. Like people started to have like really flaming reactions to her simply saying that it's, you know, it's a dork move.
Yeah, it was,
and it was like really that's what lights your fire. Like you have a whole planet full of injustices, and somebody saying, you know, it's kind of dorky to hit me up for sex in an elevator when I'm going to bed, and I've just talked about sexist issues at conventions like this.
Yeah.
And someone says it's kind of dorky, and you have a complete shitstorm about it.
Yeah, we had to hit the dump button on you there,
Tracy.
Did
it do it?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did they not?
What's that? No, yeah, this is terrestrial radio. So,
oh, I'm sorry.
We have,
I'm sorry. We don't have restrictions on atheist experience.
No, I was going to say, okay. We know you're after 10. We're and you're on cable, right?
We're on, it's access.
Yeah, so, yeah,
so they can do whatever they want.
That's different, but we have 11 minutes. Then we can say.
Okay, I did not realize that was a restriction, and I can't.
Actually, it's midnight.
That, so.
I should have brought it up. I just never heard you curse before.
Oh yeah, I let fly with F on.
I'm kidding. I listened to. Tell us about the Godless Bitches broadcast just for a minute. I mean, podcast just for
okay,
a minute.
Okay, yeah, and I'm actually glad that you're giving me that opportunity because it is actually a podcast that I'm involved with, but it is the brainchild of Beth Presswood. And so I think all the, you know, all the glory and the credit goes to Beth for that. She just called me up one day and said, would you be interested in doing this thing? I've got this idea for a feminist podcast. And I know that that's kind of Beth's angle. And I just thought, I don't know what I can offer there. I'm more of an atheist counter-apologetic, but if I don't mind being on the call and just see what happens. And so I agreed to participate mainly just, you know, at Beth's request, as a favor to a friend. But I have to admit that based on feedback to the program, I think she's really dug into a niche that was needed.
Absolutely. Well, the timing was right, too, which is fortunate and unfortunate, isn't it?
I think she nailed it. I mean, I would have really, in my mind, I kind of thought, oh, you know, whatever. If she wants to do this, it's her little project. And I hate to sound condescending about it, but in my head, I just, like I say, this was an issue for Beth, and it wasn't like a strong issue for me. And so I think in her, you know, perspective, she's kind of had a view of this that I didn't have because I wasn't involved in it. And so I was kind of thinking of it as kind of a small thing that she just wanted to take on as this project. She enjoyed it. This was her thing, whatever. And then I realized that once it got going, she really gauged correctly a market need.
Say something about the specifics, like where people could hear it and stuff like that.
Let's see. I know it's at Podbean and I know it's on iTunes, and it is called Godless Bitches, and if you Google it, you'll get lots of information. I did send her the phone number to call in. I don't know if she'll be calling in later or not. But there's like when you Google it, you can find it, Godless Bitches. It comes up real easily. There's archives of it. There's an email address that you can contact. It is also sponsored. I don't know what we're allowed to say and not allowed to say anymore, but, I mean, I know that it's, I guess it's okay to say it's sponsored by the Atheist Community of Austin.
Sure, you can say that.
You can say anything you want.
I know we have some restrictions now on the Atheist Experience. I think it's just the television show that has these restrictions because of a changeover in the access rules or something, but I don't think that impacts the podcast.
Well, if access is going out over the air, then it's subject to all the FCC
stuff. Yeah, but they
stuff.
Just changed over there, and now we can't say things anymore that we used to be able to say, like, just a couple weeks ago. So
about tax 501c3.
About sponsorships and things like that, affiliations, invitations to the dinner, everything has changed. So I don't know, but I think that doesn't impact the podcast. I'm not going to waste a lot of time talking about it. Let's just say it's sponsored by the Atheist Community of Austin, and it was Beth's brainchild, and she did a good job with it.
Podcasts and the Internet, are, except for copyrighted material, are basically totally free.
So anyway, it's a great offshoot. If you like the Atheist Experience television show, you'll like the Godless Bitches.
Where is it?
And
I don't know.
iTunes.
It can be downloaded at iTunes. Show? It's also
No, that's on television.
Yeah. Let me do a real quick.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Please. Please do. Tracy?
Okay, it is at godlessbitches.podbean.com.
Okay.
Okay. And it's and also available on iTunes. And the Atheist Experience Access television show, if you...
Are they online?
Atheist-experience.org. Is that
is
correct?
Is it org?
Or com?
I think it... Wait, let me just check that real quickly. So I should have been more prepared, I think. It is... It's actually atheist-experience without a hyphen... dot com. Or no, it does have a hyphen. It comes up. Sorry. Okay, so atheist-experience.com.
Okay.
And yeah, it has archives there, and the live stream link is there as well. It airs on Sundays. And that's Sunday afternoons in, you know, CST 4:30. There's a clock on the website that shows what time it is in Austin, so you can tell what time it is going to start, whether no matter where you are. And with Godless Bitches, those go up on the Podbean site and on iTunes as Beth releases them. So there's not like a regular release of that. We're recording on Wednesday nights, but she posts them as she can.
Okay, so what I've been talking to with Stacy, who's on the other line, and also Carrie, who's in the studio, is that what we just heard from Rebecca Watson reflects kind of the international scale of the organization and the problems that you have with people communicating by email, which is carries its own set of darkness, and also behavior at conventions, which is when people fly in and then they leave and they don't have to pretty much answer for the mess they left behind, which is very distinct from local organizations like our Houston Atheists here and Austin Atheists. And that I don't think, I'm not going to assert that that there aren't these problems. That's why I'm asking you, in these local organizations, I haven't seen a lot of this kind of activity.
I get letters. Yeah, it's a problem with the local organizations. And I can't lie, we have issues at the Austin location as well. I can say that overall, the Atheist Community of Austin is a fine group. I'm proud to be affiliated with them, and I think that overall they're a really good group of people trying to do the best they can, and they do a fantastic job with outreach and trying to make as many opportunities as possible. They're very caring, and they're very ready to react when there's a problem. That doesn't mean that there aren't some people in the group that, you know, cause everyone else to roll their eyes when they open their mouths or address a new member, or especially a female member or a minority member. It happens, and I will say that for me personally, and this is just my own experience, I don't encounter this in any other groups I'm involved with in any other area of my life.
You should get involved in media.
I feel like, how can you have a decent relationship without God? All your fault.
I don't know what it is.
Is it related to being a celebrity? Because by virtue of the fact that you're doing any media at all, you're a celebrity to some people.
Well, I don't think so, because this is local people. I mean, this is the local people that know me.
This is like in meetings?
Yeah, this would be like, you know, at happy hours or lecture series groups and things like that. I mean, this is like just the regular group members. This is not like somebody that came from Oregon because they love the show. This is somebody that's in the regular group. You know, I don't say somebody, but there are, you know, there have been more than one person, so I'm not targeting somebody. But I can't give too much detail because I know that when I start to talk and give any kind of detail, people are going to be identified locally. So I'm kind of restricted there, because I don't want to identify people by giving specific instances where everybody oh, yes, this is clearly who she's talking about. But that's kind of my point, is that everyone would know who I'm talking about if I started listing problems.
Don't go there, but they're probably not listening. But don't go there anyway.
Yeah, and I've gotten letters from other. One of the things that I was really big on with the email, when I was a little bit more active with answering the emails, I was sending people would write in and say, "I'm really isolated." I would go online. I would find local groups near their area. I would say, "Well, here's all these groups near your area. Give them a try." And sometimes it was always thank you, thank you, thank you. And sometimes I'd never hear back. But sometimes I would hear back. And I would hear back sometimes from women who would say, "I went to the meeting, I'll never go back."
Mm.
All I got was hit on, you know. And there was one girl who, one of the members at the... And I don't think that it's necessarily just a... sexual thing or like a, even a... to me, this is about overall respectful behavior. It's not like a male problem or a female problem. It's there are certain ways of respecting somebody and disrespecting somebody, and this is what you should adhere to just offer somebody respect for their boundaries. And when you cross that, to me, it doesn't matter who you are and whose boundary you're crossing. I don't care if you're a man or a woman. You shouldn't be doing this.
Can I make an excuse?
What now?
I'm a guy. I want to make an excuse.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I think it really is endemic in the whole society. Because if you look at the way our government and our, you know, wealthy people, the people, you know, the important people and stuff behave and how they treat others, that's the example right now. And, you know, I think that example just filters down.
Well, we're a very
rude nation. If we don't like what you're doing, we will bomb you with a drone. And that's pretty rude if you think about it. And that's kind of where we're at right now.
One of the girls wrote to me and she said that someone actually grabbed her ass, like at a meeting. I think it was like the second meeting that she went to. And she had made an effort to go to another one. She told me she had a really bad experience with the first one. She was going to give it another try. She went to the second meeting. She's like, someone grabbed my ass. Well, it turns out it was a guy who grabbed her ass. He's gay. So this was not like a sexual thing. And yet, somebody at that meeting thought it was appropriate to grab the ass of somebody who had only been at two meetings.
Was there any fallout or discussion?
Yeah, she reported it.
I'm just wondering, did you ever...
She was told
did the guy
he's gay.
Ever say
he's
what
gay.
He was
it's
doing?
Not, you know, he's gay. So it's not like a sexual assault. It's not like he was sexually crossing a boundary. And it's like, you don't understand. Nobody grabs my ass. I don't care if they're gay. I don't care if they're a woman. I don't care who they are. You don't walk up to me and grab my ass. And the idea that it's not a sexual maneuver doesn't make it any better.
No. And it probably never... It probably wouldn't be in that context. Because the sex thing, there's a lot of power involved. Like, rape is not sex. It's a power thing.
Right.
Like guys showing power over women.
But even if someone just thinks it's funny, it's like, you know, that's not your ass. You don't grab it.
I dressed in really convincing drag one time in my life, and I got my ass grabbed.
I just can't
imagine. I'm serious.
I'm like...
And I jacked the guy up.
I can't imagine. I mean, I have trouble identifying with it. I'm wondering what the thought process of the guy who grabbed her ass is.
Maybe that's how he acts with his other female friends that he's close to.
And that's what I'm thinking.
Maybe they're okay with it, so he just extrapolates that and thinks, oh, all females must be okay with that. My girlfriends don't mind it. You know what I mean? Maybe his experience with women or his understanding of them is just sort of deficient in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, when I have a friend that's a
doesn't
familiar...
Doesn't realize it's not okay.
Yeah, it's a totally different thing. When you know somebody and you're familiar with somebody and you have those integrated boundaries where it's like, this is okay for you to say to me, it's not okay for other people to say this to me. It's okay for you to hug me like this. Like Rebecca, when she said that she had people that hugged her at the convention without asking her, I would... That would send me back to my hotel room with the door locked.
Really?
Yeah, I would just be like, I'm not going back out there if I have to put up with people just grabbing me, and I didn't, you know, and I'm not even, just like, proactively grabbing me.
Etiquette from 100 years ago, you do not shake a woman's hand unless she offers. That was the rule. You know, and it's all based on that. It's all based on women saying, okay. You know, and men, we're supposed to be able to read that. We're supposed to be able to tell what's acceptable and what isn't. And so much of the time, we seem to have lost that ability. I mean, the elevator thing is a good example of that.
But in my
because
head,
if you were thinking about another person, you would never do it in an elevator, obviously, because she's trapped. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No, I was interrupting you, actually. But it's just, to me, I look at it like, who would just go up and hug a stranger?
Yeah.
Well, but maybe to them you're not a stranger. Maybe they follow you on your blogs.
Okay, but they're crazy. Well, because I am a stranger.
Yes, and
these are crazy people.
Maybe
they
not in their mind.
And they don't.
Maybe they feel like they know you.
Right,
so
which makes them crazy.
I don't think it makes them crazy. Maybe it makes them impolite. Maybe it makes them a little bit clueless about boundaries.
Well, I have to interrupt everybody. This is KPFT Houston.
There you go.
90.1.
All right.
And we got a bunch of other stations in Huntsville and Livingston.
Hey, Stacy, are you quiet because you're fuming over there? Or?
No, I'm just listening, and I'm in awe that you have this problem in Austin. I mean, I've been there a couple times to different things, and I love your group. But in Houston, as far as I know, we've had maybe two isolated incidences that were dealt with immediately. The person was removed. They were banned from our group. If someone grabbed my ass, I would break their hand. If
now,
someone
the
grabbed
ass
another...
didn't happen in Austin. Let me just make that clear.
I'm sorry?
The ass-grabbing incident did not happen in Austin. That was somebody that wrote to me after I suggested a local meeting.
Okay, yeah.
It was somewhere
but
else,
still, that's just insane. Wherever that happened.
Sure, I agree.
If I watched someone grab another woman's ass that was next to me that I don't even know, I would probably break their hand, too. That's absolutely insane to me. I no touching at all. It's one thing, even though I disagree with it, but it's one thing that, you know, someone hits on you or makes some odd sexual reference. But to touch you, that is way beyond the line.
Yeah, it should
that,
be clear.
Yeah.
I agree. But I also want to reiterate, I do think there's something wrong with people that think they know me from watching videos on YouTube. When Rebecca was talking about rape threats, I have never gotten any kind of violent threat against me from letters to TAE, and I've gotten, like, people will write to us and say, are you afraid of some of these theists that write to you? And I say, no, I'm afraid of some of the fans. That's what scares me, is the letters from the fans who say, I'm coming from three states away to come because I just love you so much, and I just want, you've changed my life, and I want to see
you. There
you
go.
And I want to meet you in person, and the only reason I'm coming is because of you. And your husband is so lucky. I'm just like, that's great. Well, how did my husband get into this? I mean, it is bizarre. Or commenting on my looks. You know, it's like, when did my personal commentary about me, how is that happening? I'm a counter-apologist on an atheist program. Well, where is this coming from?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Were
going to say something.
I was just going to say that, I hear where you're coming from, Tracy. I absolutely do, and I'm not diminishing anything that you may have felt or experienced from that. I just think that in these people's minds, they have an image of you that they've created from what they've seen and what they've read and the respect they have for you and what you do. And in their mind, by hugging you or commenting on your appearance, they think they're showing their support. In their mind, they're doing something good for you.
I understand the road to hell is appropriate.
You know, good intentions. Okay.
Like I say, they're not trying to be threatening, but they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need to be put in check. I mean, someone needs to let them know that that's not okay. I mean, whether they have this delusion in their head or not, it doesn't justify it. Someone needs to give them a nice dose of reality, I guess.
Well, you could do this. This could be done in a nice way. The thing is, when you're in the media, okay, when you're on the air, when you're on television, each person is really processing their own picture of you. And if they have a strong connection with what you're saying or what you're doing, you develop a certain sense of ownership. That's all I can tell you. You have in your head, this is what Carrie was saying, and it's one of the things you have to deal with when you're doing the media. And for the most part, you know, I guess for guys, it's actually easier. Because, you know, we're not going
to... I don't know. Look what happened to the Beatles.
Right, well.
You're a hard day. They'll have a movie about that.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. When I say, like, it would send me to my room, it wouldn't send me to my room in terror.
Yeah.
It would send me to my room in annoyance.
Right. No, I fully understand. And, you know, when somebody does that, it's like, well, you know, the situation is we need to explain to them that even though we're, you know, giant celebrities, we're actually people.
And I'm glad somebody chuckled at that. Thank you so much, because I spend some time trying to tell very few people in the audience that this is not celebrity.
Yeah.
I answer phones for a local Austin association. There are many people who do that. Just because it's put on YouTube doesn't make me famous.
Yeah. No, but no. You need to accept the reality of the effect of how people receive that kind of media, how people receive media, public, whatever you want to call it, you know? That's all I'm saying.
They can receive it how they want to receive it. They need to understand, I don't know who they are.
Well, but...
Yeah, it could be scary.
You have to explain that.
Yeah, and I do. And I have.
Yeah.
There's like 2,000 plus people on Facebook who hear me rant on that all the time.
Yeah. And that in itself is valuable. That whole situation is valuable because it's educating and it's explaining things to people that they might not otherwise know.
And it's kind of off topic, but I mean, the thing that bothers me, I think, worse than, you know, my personal experience with it is the reality that this is the creation of a cult of personality. And what happens is, people are putting the emphasis on the talking head that's delivering the information instead of the information, which is what the atheist experience is supposed to be about.
But, I think it's human nature to do that, though. I mean, we still personalize the information delivery.
The thing is, you actually want them to personalize the information. The connection, the connection with you is where that information is really being transmitted. It's a very powerful tool, but you know, you also have to deal with it. You know,
it can also
in a charming way
be that that's some pretty profound information that you're putting out to some people.
Yeah,
that might tune in at the beginning of the show and at the end of the show be going, "Whoa!"
That's why you always
you know what I mean? Because you guys are very effective.
Yeah.
So, so it may be like some life changing things that you've said to people that kind of they kind of had a little anchor in their mind with your face on it.
Yeah, they felt a personal connection with you.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I mean, people have come to the dinners and stuff, and they will say, like, "Can I get a picture with you?" And I'll do a hug and a picture. Any problem. I can socialize. When a person comes to the dinner after the show, we invite them. You know, it's like we're inviting you there. We're welcoming you. We're asking you to come be social with us. That is a proactive thing we do. And when you come in and you're social with us in that capacity, you're reacting to our invitation.
I'm totally
comfortable with it.
Speaking of social, we've just been joined by Georgia, who is a Houston atheist. Hi, Georgia.
Hi there.
You got to talk in that microphone thing. Talk in that machine. There you go. Okay, so now let me see if I can get this straight. We have Stacy and Tracy and Georgia and Carrie.
That's it.
Along with me and Ann and Otis, and we're talking about isms, specifically sexisms, and how they exist in organizations that you would...
I thought you said this show was about me.
It's about the universal me. And shall we... do you want to say something, Georgia, and maybe go into some phone calls? Do you guys want to hang out? Stacy and Tracy want to hang out?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm good.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Is that it?
Come on, Georgia.
All right. Okay, so who's on line one?
It's... we got Scott.
Scott. To call from a guy. Scott, line one. You're on with... I'm not going to read all these things.
Would you believe that I have had a lot of experience looking at males of the species without letting them notice?
Yeah.
Okay.
You sound observant.
Yes, and...
what have you seen?
A lot of straight guys are very open about looking at women. I was in a job back in the 80s, and there was a hotel across the street with a swimming deck. We were on 22nd floor, and guys that every once in a while would gather in an office, and they'd get out binoculars and then start talking about the women by the swimming pool. And one day there was a woman in the office, and she hadn't said much of anything, and I hadn't said much of anything either, but I remarked to her that she hadn't said anything about the men, and she started telling me about how they were middle-aged and obese, which is what I thought, too.
Well, we can dream.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was a job where I thought there was a lot of flirtation around there. If I had been the boss, I would have said, I did not think flirtation was business-like, and if you want a date, you can arrange it somewhere else. Then I had another job where I got along very well with the women because I dealt with them as people, and I think they eventually found out I was gay, but they may not have known at first. But I dealt with them as people, and...
is there anything else, Scott?
I guess that's it.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Scott.
Thanks, Scott.
Bye.
And
that's good.
So what do you guys think about the special relationship between women and gay men? And how come I'm not allowed to get in there?
I think it's a beautiful thing.
Gay men aren't threatening. They're awesome. You get, like, the best of both worlds.
You get a male, I don't know, friendship, and he wants nothing in return and never wants anything in return. I don't know. They're best. And they can help you pick out your clothes.
Steve, Reg, Rick, Troy, I love you guys. Shout out to all my boys.
Now, what about our fantasy? Johnny, we get to you in just a second, you know, but, you know, me first. No, what about our fantasy?
Let me get up the phone number.
Y'all.
713.
Y'all really want it.
713.
And I'm here to give it. What do you think of that?
There's that wonderful scene in Uncle Buck where the guy with the toothpick is hitting on the 15-year-old girl. Never mind.
713.
Just
I must have forgotten that scene.
It's in the
I'm going to try this one more time. If I don't get it, Ann's going to have to take charge. 713-526-5738. We're taking phone calls.
And Johnny's
we hadn't mentioned that yet. The only people that have called are people that already knew the phone number. So we're now opening the phone line, 713-526-5738. Tracy Harris, Carrie, Georgia, Stacy Gonzalez, and myself and Otis. We're all here to talk about ism, sexism in particular. Mm-hmm. Name your organization. We're picking the atheists because that's who we are.
And, of course, I'm not an atheist.
That's right.
He's not religious enough.
I don't work hard enough to be an atheist. I'm just one of your old, you know, agnostics.
The great pumpkin, but, I think, the last time.
No, because, I mean, look, when something goes wrong, I need somebody to yell at.
Right. You need to get more cats. All right.
Well, I have
Johnny, you're online, too.
I want to yell at cats. That's cool.
Johnny, you're on the air.
Hey, good evening. What an interesting crew. And mix of conversation, atheism and sexual perversion and stuff like that. I got an observation and one question, but I want to agree with Otis. You know, there is this thing about ownership that listeners and viewers have, so that when someone insults someone who's not a regular listener, let's say calls into the radio station, for example, and they insult a host or they insult the ideology, liberal ideology, I, for example, in my sense of outrage, will call in when I can and put that person down as part of my feeling of ownership of the station and the people that volunteer there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there is that. But my question for you guys, and I apologize if you already answered this because I didn't get a chance to listen to the entire conversation tonight, but have any of you guys had the presence of mind to create a type of census of the kind of guys who hit on and don't hit on you guys? My theory is that it has a lot to do with the political leanings of the male. You know, guys are predatory to begin with. But I think liberal guys are more respectful overall. And like I said, if they're made aware of something, they would be apologetic and they would back off. Whereas the Republican kind of guys, especially the current crop of Republicans, my God, everything is up for grabs, no pun intended.
Okay, we had a response here.
Johnny, we'll let these guys respond to it. Thanks.
Don't let him go yet. Don't take Johnny off yet.
All right, we could tell what station we're on with that question.
No, we had a response, though.
Go ahead.
I haven't really noticed a difference in either group.
Does this mic work?
I haven't really noticed much of a difference in either group. I mean, I've noticed a prevalence.
Well, I haven't hit on you yet. I mean, I'm sorry.
Not very nice of you, no.
I'm pretty liberal.
I think men are men regardless of their, you know.
There's a lot, you know, I have to say, there's a lot of it. I'm going to talk, you know, about this for a while because I really pay some attention to it. The wiring is different. I mean, the wiring with men is different from women.
Well, yeah.
And men are wired up to be the person who asks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it gets turned into all kinds of things. Okay, I'm sorry.
And women are the ones who have the burden of childbearing. So that's a scary prospect of itself. That's why they tend to be less aggressive.
Well, when I'm king, the first thing I'm doing is making our society matrilineal. Anyway.
Good luck with that.
Once you're king.
So you inherit if you have a patrilineal society, you must control the women.
That's right.
Yeah. And that's why...
Good luck on that, Otis.
That's why the original... Well, you have to know who the father is. But in a lot of societies that are matrilineal, which was the basic way to do it, you didn't have that. So, like, the mother's brother would raise the kids. The father wasn't really that significant.
Do we have any women on the line? Oh, we do. Like we have one, right?
There we do. All right, let's get rid of Johnny.
Thank you, Johnny.
Thanks, Johnny.
Right.
Catch you later.
Beverly.
Hi.
You're on the air.
I wanted to just say that I've been a member of the Houston Atheist for a long time. I know this is about sexism in the atheist community, isn't that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've never noticed much of any type of sexist behavior. As a matter of fact, I think that the men that are in, the men and the women that are in the group are much less aggressive towards women overall. My experience has been, I've been a member for about 6 years, and I think they're more respectful of women than in most other groups I've been in.
I'm curious what region you're in.
She's in Houston.
Houston, we're in Houston.
This is a woman, the caller is in Houston?
Yes.
Okay, I mean, I can't speak for the Houston group, but it is a bigger city than Austin. Maybe that makes a difference.
Well, we have it well controlled, too. I think people just, we all know each other pretty well, and the new people that come in, if they are odd or speaking strangely to women in our group only, we would take action against that.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, and we're all pretty protective over each other, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I look at the Houston group as my family. Someday when I have to move away for grad school, I'm going to cry because this is my family. I'm leaving the Houston group. But I think it's, we just all kind of watch each other's back. I don't think there's ever a reason to fear that in the Houston group. And whenever the light little tiny things that have happened, I hope that a couple of you Houston people can vouch for this. In the past, I had handled it very swiftly. It was gone. As soon as there was a problem, it was gone. So we hold tight reins on our group, I guess.
Yes, and we still do. We don't tolerate any kind of harassment, be it sexual harassment, bullying, cyberbullying, intimidation, be it in person or online. We try to take a very proactive approach. We would rather get rid of somebody who is showing signs of becoming a problem versus waiting until they become a problem and then trying to deal with it.
Sometimes we're accused of being too tough.
Exactly.
Yeah. I definitely think that the faction of you're being too tough would raise a head in the Austin group.
Right.
And it does sometimes. Sometimes people object. Why did you remove so-and-so? That person's just a little socially awkward. This group would have been a good opportunity for them to get over some of that.
Yeah, at ACA, I've seen, I can't say enough about the leadership and, you know, most of the people in the group. I think that there's probably more people in leadership that would be willing to take swifter action if there wasn't an opposition to it in some way.
There's opposition?
There is opposition. There's people who want to say that it has to reach a point, like the woman on the phone, I'm sorry, I think it was the caller, was saying that they want to stop it before it becomes a problem. And I think that in Austin there's sort of a balance of people that are saying you can't ban someone if they haven't done something that is a problem.
Hold on. Tracy, are you on like a headphone or something? Because you keep fading in and out.
Ooh, I'm actually on a phone, but I can switch phones.
No, it's okay.
Don't move
it's
it.
Just kind of... I wanted to make point one thing out about the Houston Atheist groups compared to all the other organizations I've ever been involved in. And I think that the way that ACA is structured, too, is real different. That the Houston Atheist Group is, I mean, at this point anyway, in its development, it's huge, but it's very anarchic. Like, when you go, there's no meetings, really. They're meetups. You just go there. There's nobody speaking. Everybody just kind of hanging around. So you walk in, and you pretty much have to introduce yourself. People kind of notice you walk in. There's no membership, there's no dues, there's no roster. You can't be really kicked out of anything except for maybe the Facebook group. And so there's no officers, there's nobody really in charge. So there's not...
No, I'm afraid that's inaccurate.
All of that, Scooter.
Yeah.
Where have you been?
Are you guys changed the
opposite of everything you said.
Are we talking about the same group? Because I'm kind of unclear on this. Pretty much everything you just said, the opposite is true.
No, Scooter, you got to understand that as an anarchist, Scooter doesn't see that stuff.
It's
like,
saying,
I don't see
him,
color,
but not
you know?
The people behind the scenes.
No.
Well, I'm talking about the place that I go into when everybody's there. There's no meeting. There's no speaker. I can't sign up to talk. I can't. You know, there's
It's not a lecture to be talked at. It's just a social environment.
Right.
And most of us know each other, like you, who just come in, sit down, and enjoy.
But right. there are still members of the organizers team who are there. Yes. You know, we're not the police, right. but we are keeping an eye on what's going on. You know, we make a point of trying to welcome new people, trying to get around and talk to everybody, try to make everybody feel included. Mm-hmm. You know, there is sort of a method to the madness. I mean, it's not just,
well, you did a great job of hiding that.
Well, you know, and there's a reason to that, though. We don't want people to feel like it's this sort of onerous structure that, you know, this person's in charge and here's the rules. We want them to feel relaxed and comfortable and welcome, but, you know, there also is some oversight of what's going on and some effort to make sure everyone feels welcome.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, at one point, all the organizers in the Houston Atheists were female, and I would say all of them were feminists.
I would have to say that I did that on purpose for a while, and then I got caught and called out for just picking females. I just thought it was cool that we were the largest atheist community in the world, and we were run by all women. I thought that was cool. So I did that on purpose, sorry, and then I finally let a few people in, like Jay and Josue, but, and then it grew, the men took over, but I tried for a while, we had all women.
Well, the men didn't take over, you stayed in charge for quite a long time.
Did you ever hear?
I'm still an organizer.
Yes, true.
I'm part of the old guard.
Did you ever hear Helen Caldicott's story about Physicians for Social Responsibility? As soon as it got moderately successful, they pushed her out because she was too emotional because she was a woman. You got to watch what guys do.
713.
We will take over because we love to organize and own.
Our phone number is 713-526-5738 if you'd like to call in and talk to the atheist ladies tonight.
And if you dare.
I want to respond to that. I don't think all women and all men are the exact same, like putting people in boxes. I think that I have a lot of male tendencies, especially how aggressive I can be. But
we've noticed tonight,
We're all so different that I think it's hard to say women are this way and we're too emotional and men are too aggressive and men are this way. We are all a wide spectrum. At least that's what I've experienced.
No, I think you're right. And obviously there are a bunch of things, but there is difference in the wiring.
There's definitely trends. I mean, that's what sociology is based on.
There are differences in the wiring, you know, and they go way back. And if you look at the primitive societies, we're still there. So men had a job and women had a job and yada, yada.
But
there are differences. But we, you know, society, we have etiquette. We have manners, not being rude. And we observe those things. And, you know, maybe there's not too much of that right now. I mean, we're seeing... It's what I was saying before. We're seeing the behavior of our examples, the government and, you know, rich people, is quite rude.
I'd like to say
our example now
that if, you know, the broader, this is this conversation has been going on for almost a year now in the greater atheist organizations, the international scope of atheist, English speaking anyway. And, I mean, if you're thinking about, if you want to get involved in a movement or people are trying to make changes, I've been in a bunch of them. And if you get into a movement and they're not having a discussion about white male patriarchy and gender and institutionalized racism and sexism, if that conversation is not going on, run away as fast as you can.
I don't agree with that, Scooter.
Who would have thought? I don't know if I do either.
Well, somebody had mentioned, one of the men had mentioned men doing the asking.
Yeah, I did say that. I mean, that's the structure.
That's
more
Otis
or less.
Yeah,
I had gotten an interesting query from an atheist man who contacted me and he was asking in a long way, in kind of a drawn-out way, why aren't women more aggressive in doing asking? Like, why is the onus always on me as a male to have to ask and take the risk of rejection? And why aren't women doing more of this asking? And he's like, you know, I suspect that there might be some, you know, religious oppressive, you know, history that's keeping them down, or, you know, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to hammer the kid, but the reality is a lot of people jump to that conclusion that if I'm not sexually aggressive, the reason must be I'm somehow repressed.
Or gay.
And what I find interesting is...
Yeah, well, you must be a lesbian.
Then I wrote back and I said, you know, could it be basically that if you go into a bar and you don't ask, you're going to sit alone the whole night? But if I go into a bar and I don't do any asking, I'll get hit on by 3-4 guys.
Yeah, if you're
all I have to do is sit there.
Yeah. So you're
like,
lazy.
There's a strategy issue here. You're asking, why do I always have to? Why is the onus on me to do this? And the answer is, because you do it.
Yeah. That's great. I love that circular argument. It's wonderful. Yeah. You can't get away from yourself.
But I was
no matter
say,
where you go, there you are.
That argument is used in religion a lot, you know, the circular arguments. You know.
Sort of.
It's the proof. Sort of. The proof is, you know, because I said it.
Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of like, if somebody's throwing money at you, and then they say, why don't you work?
Yeah, good stuff.
It could be that I got money getting thrown at me. You know, I mean, what's my incentive? Now, and what I did say was, you know, there might be an argument to be made that what if there's a guy in the bar that I'd like to hook up with and he's not asking me? Wow. I said, but really, as a strategy perspective, isn't it really in my best interest to choose from among the men that are showing an interest?
Well, it depends on, you have a strategy, but what's your goal?
Yeah, what's your objective?
Right, but part of the objective of being with somebody should be to be with somebody who wants to be with me.
You know, you have to also say somebody you want to be with. I mean,
correct.
You'd have to have both.
Right, but I want to be with somebody who wants to be with me. I'm not saying that's the only criteria,
so
but I'm saying that's certainly a important criteria.
High on the list.
Has to want
get
to
into
be with me.
Human mating behavior, which is excessively complex, but somehow seems to work since
sure.
I'm still here.
It's driven by evolution.
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes
Richard
I wonder.
Dawkins would speak to this.
Sometimes
right?
I wonder how we manage to reproduce.
Didn't Jerry Seinfeld
or
say why? Alcohol?
I didn't get my joke in.
Let's get Richard on.
I didn't get my joke in when I was talking to Rebecca, so I want to tell it now.
Okay, tell your joke now, then let's
so,
put Richard
this
on.
This is about Richard Dawkins' response. And what I read, you weren't here for that, but it was about, genitals aren't being mutilated. What are you whining about? You know, and I was, it's actually worse than that. And I was reading that and I said, wow, this is what a bottle of single malt scotch sounds like when it's talking. You know, I was wondering, what time did he write this? There's no way he was sober.
That's from Johnny Walker.
I was going to say, do you think that the fact that it was that single malt scotch would produce a higher level
of
illogical fallacy?
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Have to do a controlled experiment.
Then ripple.
Oh, how the mighty fall. Okay, I put Richard on.
Yeah, put Richard on.
Richard, you're on line one.
Save us, Richard.
Are you related to anybody here?
No. And a very entertaining show.
Thank you.
I just had to chime in. It bothered me a little bit.
Good.
I am a registered Republican. And,
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I guess you can't help it, right?
That wasn't us. That was Johnny. I guess I know where this is going.
We've already popped the scotch bottle.
Go ahead.
And I am an atheist as well.
Wait a minute. That's an oxymoron.
You're a rare find.
That's
we
special.
Have a few of them.
So
no,
are
they exist.
Well,
yeah.
I know I interrupt you a bit. Are you like a Republican, sort of with Republican ideals, but you're not, you know, just parroting the talking point of the day? I mean.
No, God.
You're a real Republican.
It really hurts me with the party right now because economically and for financial reasons.
I don't want to change your subject, what you called about.
Too late.
Wanted to acknowledge that there was a real Republican left in the world.
Right. We've got him.
I mean, you know.
Don't use Republican left.
And I'm not totally thrilled with the candidate that we ended up with. But
no, I don't think anybody is, but they're going to pretend.
Yeah, we're going to pretend.
And some of us aren't thrilled with the other candidate, actually. But
my whole thing was the idea that Republicans grab ass more than Democrats. Oh, my God. I am so respectful of women. And, it's just tonight I recently came back from a trip to Europe. And the people that were supposed to take care of my fish killed them all.
Aww.
And
moment of silence.
Yes, thank you.
Actually, I think it was you, Richard, because the fish missed you. And they're very sensitive. They just don't show it.
Could be.
It's all your fault.
I like to say that to Republicans.
God knows. I feel the guilt because I was raised Catholic.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
I shouldn't say that in this company.
At the...
Can you continue, Richard?
Oh, my flying spaghetti monster.
Parking lot, there was a woman who was stranded because her car wasn't starting. Offered a jump shot, and we hooked up the jumper cables for 30 minutes and spent 30 minutes and didn't work. So ultimately, she ended up getting a tow, and I waited with her until the tow arrived. Mm-hmm. And at no point would I have ever done anything inappropriate or, God. And plus, I'm a Republican, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. If you grab an ass, you're getting sued.
She wouldn't be interested in you anyway.
I don't know. I think it has little to do with political, if anything at all, to do with political affiliation and everything to do with personalities, circumstances, upbringing, environment, consumption of intoxicants.
Yeah. You know. It has to do with courtesy and people being...
Socialization.
Stand up, right people.
Socialize.
Versus. Yeah, I mean, how you were raised to treat women or to treat other people. Well, you know, the way that you've been socialized has a lot more to do with it than your political leanings.
You either have the capacity to see boundaries and you are willing to respect them, or there's where you don't.
Exactly.
Yep.
And there's also it's kind of where you are in the hierarchy and how important you think that is, you know. That's what I was wondering about, what was going on, what Rebecca was talking about. Like I commented, you'd never get away with that kind of behavior at a biker rally. You know, there's just no way.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
Or if you're Dominique, was it StraussCon, and you think you can just force maids to go down on you because you're that rich and powerful, and you can you can control people to that extent?
So, I don't know. I was about to say
I'm fairly high up on the hierarchy. Then you mentioned him, and... okay. Well, I'm just a dude that is relatively high up in the hierarchy of the company that I work for.
You bragging?
But I'm not Strauss Kahn.
No. Or you wouldn't be calling here.
So,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I listen to public radio.
I got a real quick funny story. I'm right across the street from the Second Baptist Church. Stacy knows what that is, right? I work right across the street from there.
How could you miss it?
And there was this woman, and her car was broke down. And she was out there because this reminded me of the story. And her car was broken down, and she was struggling. It was really hot. She struggled with it for a long time. And finally, a guy from the store goes over there. We have a...
Well, she's in the Second Baptist parking lot?
The Second Baptist, yeah.
In the parking lot.
So he walked the street with the battery starter thinger. And he's a black guy. And as soon as he walked up to a car, every white guy from across the parking lot came out and started helping her. So there's your Second Baptist for you. Good atheist joke for y'all. True story, though.
Well, the woman that I was trying to help at the Petco location was a black woman. And, you know, whatever. People need help.
Yep.
There you go.
Well, we are actually all in the same boat. As we're beginning to discover.
Yeah.
Finally. And it's sinking.
For a little while.
And it's sinking.
No, but the ocean's coming to us.
No, but part of it is sinking.
Slowly,
I just got my boat in the driveway. I'm waiting for the ocean to come up to it.
Well,
Noah.
I live outside of the 100-year floodplain.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I got flood insurance.
Oh, don't we all around here?
But wait. Global warming, remember, back in the, I don't know, 400th century, whatever, the Britons were able to grow grapes and have wonderful, wonderful product. It added so much productivity to our... development as a race of people. When we had global warming, you know, 1,500 years ago, why is it such a disaster now?
Well, there's a difference.
They have vineyards in Britain now.
Yeah, they're still there.
And also, we're in the period of change, so everything is readjusting. It's just very crazy right now. But it's really scary. I'm sorry. The loss of the ice in the Arctic is devastating. And don't forget where our oxygen comes from the plankton in the South Atlantic. That's where most of our oxygen comes from.
And who knows what's happening as the ocean gets warmer and more acidic. Who knows? Very interesting.
Thank you, Richard.
Thanks, Richard.
All right. Thanks, guys.
You bet. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
It's great to get...
Wide open public radio, free of a speech. Yeah.
7-1
This is the grab bag. Katie is in the grab bag next.
2-6-5-7-3-8 is our number.
Do it again, and I won't interrupt.
No, they heard it. 713-526-5738.
And we're here with...
Or I'll say it the way we usually say it. 713-526-5738.
And we're here with...
that?
We're here with ladies from the from the...
We're here tonight dominating the ladies.
From the atheist community worldwide.
Talking over them. Katie,
and
let's get
Katie is on the line, too. Hi, Katie. You're on the air.
Yes. I'm actually a new member to the Houston atheist community. I've been to a couple events, and I was, you know, really excited, and I felt very welcomed, and then I heard about the whole... elevator gate ordeal, and I kind of feel like the Houston atheist men are kind of thrown under the bus a little bit. I don't know a whole lot about the situation, but it seems like, you know, very few situations that have happened have... I don't mean any disrespect to, you know, whatever has happened, but I feel like it's overblown, and to me, I feel, you know, kind of apprehensive, you know, to attend future events because, you know,
you might get hit
Katie,
on, or
Stacy?
Oh,
well, you were being hit on. Is that what you're saying, Katie?
No,
you're being hit on.
No, she wasn't.
Then.
No. I'm saying she was afraid she might be. I was wondering what she was apprehensive about.
I'm not really afraid that I will be. I guess I'm different. I'm not a feminist at all. I grew up, my brother was just a year older than me. I have a lot of male friends, and
but you don't have to be a feminist. Believe me, we're a wide variety of people here.
Yeah. And I joined wanting to, make new friends. I just moved here and everything, and I guess
I'm not really following what your issue is, Katie. I'm sorry, I'm a little unclear on what it is that's troubling you.
Well,
she was kind of freaked by the by reading the stuff
by the stories.
I mean, the elevator. Oh my gosh, I'm already calling it elegate.
I guess what I wanted to say, and I don't want to offend Rebecca or, you know, any of the other women that have had an issue, but I didn't feel like it. I mean, it was more of like social awkwardness. Like, he asked for coffee. Yeah, it was, you know, for 4 o'clock in the morning. It was inappropriate, but I think that I don't see what the...
Katie, I agree with you.
That's the point.
That was the point.
Sorry, go ahead, Carrie.
No, Stacey, I'm sorry. You were first. I apologize.
Oh, it's cool. That's the whole point. Rebecca Watson didn't make a big deal about it. Mm-hmm. Richard Dawkins came in, and many other people came in and made a big deal about it, like, stop whining. She just kind of threw it out there, like, funny story, and everyone else made a big deal about it, and that's the actual issue. I was misinformed before.
Yeah, it just took on a life of its own, really, which
yes.
I don't think was ever her original intention.
Okay.
And I have a question, though.
But wait a minute.
I'm more.
All I can say to Katie is that from what I'm hearing from the men and the women in the Houston community, that this doesn't seem to have developed here yet, or it isn't.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's the region or if it's the structure.
And
or,
maybe because
I can't
it's a smaller
say why, but
group.
I don't think anybody.
We all know each other, and you can't just get on a plane and go home and not see that.
So I wouldn't feel weird about coming here because. I mean, it doesn't, unless there's a big secret that everybody...
No. Katie, don't. You have nothing to worry about in our group. And if you ever did come across a problem, address that with one of the organizers, and it would be handled promptly.
And I feel completely comfortable with, you know, all of the organizers and everything. And that's, you know, what, you know, I love about the community is I finally feel like, you know, I have a place. And, you know, people that, you know, will have my back if something ever does happen within the community or outside of it.
We're glad to hear that, Katie. We're glad to have you with us.
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks, Katie.
I have a really dumb question.
All right. Hope we have a really dumb answer.
What you'd expect from me. Have there been any connections made in the Houston Society, people who met there?
Quite a few. Yeah. And they were married by the guy who used to run the group before me.
Yeah.
How can atheists marry without God? What do you mean?
Imagine that.
Yeah, go figure.
Everybody wants a three-way with God.
Well,
and then they call us
God.
A menage a God.
Atheists couldn't get married either.
Right. So who wants to tell a funny story about the picture that somebody got? Let's leave it out.
It's the visual medium.
Yeah. Well, I'm holding this up. Now, isn't that embarrassing?
No.
Can you believe somebody
did
that?
That's
the ultimate inside joke. 713-526-5738. If you'd like to call us, we have a call on the line.
Well, put Tom on.
Put him on.
Oh, it's Tom. I'm sorry.
Put Tom on.
I was waiting for his magic
name.
Tom
has always got something to say.
Tom has something to say.
Hello. Good evening. How are you?
You're on the air.
Great. Good evening. Carrie, greetings and salutations to you.
You too.
I was listening to this call, and I have to say maybe my impression is a little bit wrong of what I've been hearing, but, you know, I think we're talking about sexism, and also it blurs the line of feminism, and of course, I'm not sure where atheism comes into any of this, but I come from a European background where affection and interaction between people is distinctly seen as separate from often, you know, sexual activity and sexual aggression and sexual motivation.
Right.
So we're huggers. I grew up that way. Now, being a first-generation American, I can tell you it's different being introduced to American society, even if you are an American under those circumstances. But, you know, I guess what I'm saying here is how much of the individual's discomfort with their interpretation of sexual aggression or being come on to by somebody is based upon their own discomfort with sexuality versus their societal expectations and their, you know, maybe the belief in feminism and how far that goes for them. Now, I'm not saying that inappropriate sexual movement is good. I'm just saying I wasn't real comfortable with some of the kind of feeling I had from the earlier parts of the conversation here on this show, because I think it kind of took a narrow view. In Mental Medics, it sounds like Houston atheist men are predators, and, you know, that's never a good thing. But I consider myself a world atheist, not just in your area. But I definitely know that in the South, regardless of your political or your theist beliefs or your you know, your secular beliefs, there tends to be a very distinct difference than in similar communities, especially on a more global scale.
Mm-hmm. But just to clear things up, factually,
I want a woman to answer that.
Factually, as to what we said on the air, I don't think anybody has talked about any male Houston atheist on the air at all.
Right.
We haven't even entered the conversation.
And I hate to say it, I mean, as a feminist, but I think this is really more about manners than it is about sexual aggression or anything else.
Well, like,
I think it really comes down to manners. You don't do that in polite
society. Yeah, I agree with that. That's the point.
I could
I'm agreeing with you on that point.
That could be really different from what the women see.
No, this is Tracy. Can I just jump in here?
No,
please.
I really resent the line being drawn at men and women because it's not men and women.
Yeah, it's men.
It's not atheist men. This is some people that do this.
Yeah.
You're talking about all of society.
I'm not talking about all of society. I'm talking about, because I've already said that for myself, I don't encounter this anywhere else. So this, to me, is specific to my interaction in the atheist community.
Tracy's calling from Austin.
Yeah, right, Austin. I'm not in Houston.
Is that possible, though, because that's where your focus is? You know, have a heavy focus there?
Well, I have heavy focuses in other areas, too, and I don't encounter this.
Okay.
So I'm saying is, like, I have a whole professional career where this never occurs, and even when I'm not at work. So if I'm socializing with other professionals in my profession outside of work at conventions or whatever, this does not occur.
Okay.
Maybe this doesn't occur to you. I mean, it may occur to other people. I mean, I'm not trying to argue with you. I'm just saying, being devil's advocate a little bit. I mean, it may still go on. You just don't necessarily know about it or see it.
Yeah, and I don't know. yeah, I guess it's possible that, that it's occurring and nobody's talking about it. Mm-hmm.
It could also be perspective. I've been to many, many atheist conventions, and I don't feel that anyone ever crossed the line. But I know I've been hit on, but I never really, like, paid attention to it, I guess, because I feel like everything in the atheist community is the same thing that happens to me if I go out in public other places. So, I mean, I personally haven't experienced any more in atheist events than I have in normal life.
As far
as the hugging goes, I have a huge bubble. Huge, huge bubble. So don't touch me at all. I'm just kind of weird like that. And that happened before I became a feminist, before I became an atheist. I've always kind of been an anti-hugger. I'll hug people, but you got to be crying or something. I don't know. Okay. Don't touch me.
See, that was my point. So I'm sort of relieved to hear that it's personal perspective versus, ideology or in a broader sense related to something else.
Yeah, it's definitely.
Yeah, for me, it's just like you don't touch another person unless you know it's okay to touch them.
Exactly.
I usually respect those boundaries, but I grew up with the European, influence, and I'll let anybody hug me. I mean, I'm cool with it. But
yeah, you're a people person.
Yeah, but I'll respect other people's boundaries, and I won't just come in for a hug because that's the society we live in. When I go to Europe, you don't know the person, and they'll come up and give you a kiss and hug and.
That freaked me out.
Yeah, that is true. That is very true. And that was what I was trying to say. I think that's an adjustment that you make when you, basically cross the date line, so to speak, or you move into a different type of society. I think that we tend to be somewhat, not only religiously conservative as a nation, or shall I say religiously anal retentive, but we also tend to be somewhat socially so. And I think that a lot of times people here read things into actions based upon their frame of reference to only their microcosm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think our society is highly individual rights oriented. I mean, we're not very socialized. We're very individual. Mm-hmm. And with that comes, this is me, this is mine, and you respect me and mine. And it's not ours. And so, like, for example, when you're talking about some of the European countries are far more socialized.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the individual rights and the individual freedoms and the individual is, like, huge in the U.S.
We have a very strong
individual boundary.
Right. I totally agree with that. I think that we moved away from being a community sometime after the war.
Okay, Tom. Well,
thank you so much.
My money.
Appreciate
thank
it.
You.
What?
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Tom.
And
articulate.
Tom and Jerry.
Tom, yeah. Jerry.
Awesome.
You're next.
Who would have thought?
Okay, Jerry. Hey.
On there. Hi, Jerry.
Hey.
Hey.
Yeah, I couldn't help but throw a little cold water on this whole business about women getting to choose, showing up at a bar and just getting to choose and pick and whatever.
You don't like that?
No, that's exactly what happens. And you know what? Every one of those is an opportunity for women to screw up. All women, basically, especially if they're childbearing years, but in fact all women, in fact, are just one bad decision away from really screwing up their lives.
Unlike
really,
the men.
Everybody is.
Wow.
Yeah. That's true, but the problem is it's even more iffy in certain respects for women, especially in regard to
their
relationships. And let me point out something else to you, too.
Tracy has a burning chair. I could hear it.
Let me say something else, too. Look at what actually happens. The vast majority of marriages in this country fail.
Yep.
More than 50, there's a higher than 50% divorce rate, right? Right.
It's skewed.
In general. And then if you go out and look at people who are still married, most half the people I've seen that are still married are separated. They're living in different households.
I'm happily married. Very happily
You're one
married.
Of the few.
I'm divorce, also happily married.
The divorce statistics are
You're
skewed.
You're one of the few.
The divorce statistics are skewed because you have a group of people who get married and divorced and married and divorced and married and divorced.
No.
So there, yes.
Yeah,
so and then you have a group
true.
That stay
I
married.
Problem is, when a person remarries, that second.
No, the problem is, though, is like
divorce.
I said, if you actually go and look around at older couples and everything, I don't know how many older couples I've seen where the woman and guy just decide to split up and they never get that divorce.
That's true.
I think anyone here could probably tell us what group
has the lowest divorce
rate. And everything. Yeah. You know,
if,
Atheist.
We win
about,
everything.
You know, we can't blame it on God. Say, well, I could just pick and choose or whatever, but no, it's really
you sound bitter. I guess
you
I'm
sound bitter about women being able to pick and choose and being outnumbered. That's this just sounds bitter.
Yeah, I'm like, what is the difference between saying yes to the person who asked you out and asking out the wrong person? How is that not a problem? I mean, you
it's
could
funny
you
mentioned
could
that
easily,
because actually,
you know,
I looked back. This is something I thought about here a couple
horrible.
Of years ago.
Wait a minute, Jerry, listen to her.
I have something to say about that, and that is, you know, nearly every woman that shot me down, and I am straight. Every woman that shot me down, and I look back on it in retrospect, I'm like going, I don't know how many times I looked at several situations where I just sat there and said, thank God, what was I thinking when I asked that person out or tried to get into a relationship with that person?
All right.
Okay. That
person did we got it. We have, look, we have two more callers.
All right.
We got 7 minutes. Thanks, Jerry.
Okay.
Yeah,
rock and
thanks.
Roll.
Bye.
Yeah, if you want to hit on somebody at an elevator in the 4 in the morning, start at 12 o'clock. That's how
noon.
That's how courtship works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Start a conversation. Throw a few flags up, turn a few lights on, see if you get anything back. If you don't know that the answer's already going to be yes, don't ask. Jeez. Okay. I mean, I wasn't really responding to Jerry.
Do you want to get him in?
Yes. Mike?
I definitely have to say, I mean, I'm only 21 and I am gay. I've been in one relationship in my life and they gave me HIV, and, like, I've never planned on getting married. I don't believe in the idea of marriage, but I see, like, from my parents, my brother, and other people, more people are in love with the idea of being in love and not the idea of what it takes to actually hold down a relationship.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Definitely correct on that.
Yeah. Nobody's going to argue.
And it's, like, is that wrong? Like,
there's more, as, like, as days go by, there's more pride and more stubbornness in each individual, whether they be straight, gay, man, or woman, to hold down and so they don't have to feel guilty about, you know, them being the one who made a mistake. And yep. I think everyone is just too quick to point a finger rather than, you know, growing up, everyone, I was always told by my parents that
it
takes two to tango. But now, as time goes by, everyone has to be the hero, and you know they always have to have you know someone else being the villain rather than just talking about it and kind of just saying, "Hey, I screwed up. You screwed up. How can we not screw up?" There's a huge lack of communication nowadays, and I think honestly, for like my generation, it's kind of a huge turnoff on the whole idea of marriage, and I think that's why you know more people are cheating in relationships. There's more STDs going around. There's just a huge epidemic of, like, the idea of being in love with someone or, you know, seeing those 70-year-olds who are walking down the streets midday and, like, you know they can, you feel like they're not going to even make it across the street, but that kind of just, you know, eternal lasting love, that entire, that's more of a fairy tale nowadays.
Yeah.
Well, not necessarily. It's also,
it's kind of, I mean, it still exists, but it's very rare because I think everyone's kind of just too afraid to admit that, hey, I'm a jerk. You know, these are the things that are wrong with me.
No, that's true. Yeah.
No, I agree with what you're saying.
Of, you know,
I would throw in there
flaws.
That how somebody talks about their exes is very important.
Yeah.
Listen when they talk about their exes, because if it's nothing but trash, don't even run, don't walk.
That's Heather, one day going to talk about you. Yeah, exactly.
So,
I mean, there's even though there's bad in people, there's always still going to be the good. So, like you're saying, like, you know, how they talk about their exes, if they're just going to throw them under the bus, and then even worse, it's kind of just like, you know, I'm pretty sure that person did not do everything
right.
You know, I'm definitely guilty of overanalyzing way too much than I'm paranoid, and I definitely have so many flaws that the relationship didn't work. But I think most people are just too afraid to be, you know, self-aware of, you know, the things that they need to work on because they're, you know, they don't want to feel that they have some sort of weakness.
Yeah, but Mike, I think that it could also be that long-term monogamy, you know, from 20 to death is the real exception and not the rule in human nature.
Well, it was designed never to go existed, from 15 so. To 25.
It's just every once in a while it works out for somebody that way.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but when it disintegrates, people don't have to demonize the other person.
Thanks,
yeah.
Mike. We're going to let you go because we got to wrap it up.
Yeah,
and everybody's got to have a last word. Everybody needs a last word. Okay, that was
30
good.
Seconds. Anyway, we are the
that was an angel passing.
We are the atheist community. We have been talking about sexism and institutionalized isms
and manners
within our own community, and we're doing that because we're trying to make ourselves at least transcend the general population in such a way that the world could become a better place. And so I hope you enjoyed us talking about that.
I think he was
and
being
we're down
serious,
to what,
actually.
10 seconds?
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
We have two or one?
Thank you. We've been listening to Tracy Harris and Carrie in Georgia and Stacy and Otis and Ann. And I'm Scooter. This has been The Other Side of the Inner Side. And we'll see you all next week. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Good night, y'all.